from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, what a frustrating loss in Detroit today. And frustrating for so many different reasons. We're going to get into all of them here on Red Sox Review. 617-779-7937. Let out a little bit of steam with us here on Red Sox Review. Joe Weil with you, Zach Coe behind the glass, as the Sox fall 4-1 against the Detroit Tigers. And this game, there's a macro level view, and then there's a smaller view of what's going on within this game, outside of this game, and in the greater span of games that have been around this one. And I'll start with today's game and the specifics of today's game. This was one of the most frustrating games to watch Alex Cora manage. You guys that listen to me, you know how much of a fan I am of Alex Cora. I still think, even after this game, he is one of the best managers in baseball. However, this was, in my opinion, the worst game I've seen him manage this year. Is it the sole reason they lost this game? No. The bats have gone completely silent over these last 10 games. 3-7 are the Sox in the last 10. 29 runs scored in that span. And today they can't do anything when the Tigers ultimately roll out a bullpen game. They go with an opener. They go with a guy in Brant Herder who ends up giving them 5 good innings. And they only have 6 hits, none of which for extra base hits. But the decision to take out Cooper Criswell after 4 perfect innings today is confounding. And the reason that it feels this way, from my perspective, and I'm sure for your perspective, listening to me talk right now, or after having listened to this game or watched this game, is that these are the types of moves that we see other managers that we make fun of make. And what I mean by that is that Alex Cora is known for combining the analytics with feel. He's so good at somehow bringing those two parts of the game together. But today, in a way that is still confusing to me, that wasn't the case. It was going with the book. It was going with the lack of feel in this game. Cooper Criswell gave you 4 perfect innings, and maybe that was the game plan going in. He'll give us 4, we'll give it to the bullpen the rest of the way. You have to be willing to deviate from that, though. And for all the reasons that come up of why you would take out Cooper Criswell, none of them add up to me after this one. And I want to know if it adds up to you, or if it doesn't, how angry you are right now. 617-779-7937 is the number to call in. Again, 617-779-7937. You can also text us at 37937. We will get to Alex Cora's comments in a little bit, but and there may be an explanation to why he made this decision. We're going to hear that in one moment here. But I want to go over why, at least from what we saw, why it didn't make any sense to me. So you could make the rationale. Okay, you got Kerry Carpenter coming up, left-handed batter. Josh Jung after that, another left-handed hitter. Okay, Cooper Criswell is much better, or not much better, but he is better against left-handed hitters than he is against right-handed hitters. Kerry Carpenter struggles this year against left-handed pitchers. I grant that. However, he hit a home run against Brennan Bernardino 2 nights ago when you made the same move to keep it a lefty. So that's one part of it that didn't make any sense. You have a guy that's rolling. Now, you could also say, well, Cooper Criswell doesn't pitch into the fifth inning all that often. I grant you that. However, that also blows up in the face of the facts of this game. He had tossed 52 pitches. You look at his last couple outings against Toronto, 3 1/3 innings pitched. Yes. However, how many pitches did he throw? 72. The game before that against Houston, 4 2/3 innings. Okay, so that's not five. How many pitches did he throw? 80. Well, has Cooper Criswell ever thrown more than five innings in a start? Yes. We've seen him go seven, and he pitched really well in that game. Sometimes we treat Cooper Criswell like he's some schmo because he was their lone free agent signing from a pitching perspective outside of Lucas Giolito from a starting perspective. But Cooper Criswell is a nice guy to slot in. He's not great all the time. The numbers are average, 4.34 ERA coming into this one, but he's pretty good as a starter, sub-4 ERA, and he had a perfect game going. There was no... It did not make sense to me to go to a guy in Rich Hill who you just picked up, 44 years old, and ask him to pitch back-to-back games. It doesn't make any sense any which way you break it down. And the reason that I feel the way I do after that game and kind of getting it out, and I want you guys to pitch in too, again, 617-779-7937, is that Alex Cora, I still think, is one of the best managers in baseball. I do. The reason the Red Sox are even in playoff contention is because of what he does, not in spite of him. But this was not a good series. Friday was a struggle. The fact that he let Brennan Bernardino go out there for a second inning, and they almost blew that game because Kerry Carpenter hit a three-run home run. I think what is so mysterious about what has happened in this series specifically with the managing is that it goes away from what makes Alex Cora great. He plays the percentages, but on top of that, he has a great feel for the team, and today there was a complete lack of feel. So now that I've gotten that out of the way, let me again state that if the Red Sox miss the playoffs, it is not because Cooper Criswell was taken out in the fifth inning. This team is already facing a deficit. Right now the bats have gone dormant outside of Friday. 29 runs in their last 10 games. Coming into today, they were in the bottom third in average on base and slugging over their last nine. Casas now is hitting a slump, which you thought he would have coming off, off the IL, but instead it's after a nice start to his time, being back on the active roster. Now he's hit the skids. Devers does not look right now. He just doesn't. I know he hit a single in this game, but he just does not look like Rafael Devers, the one we know that can crush baseballs. We have a lot to get to. We're going to take you up to 6 p.m. on this one. Again, we're going to play Alex Cora in one moment. Rich Hill talking right now. We'll try to get that sound for you as well. And also Cooper Criswell talked. We will play that on the show as well. The calls, texts are rolling in, 617-779-7937. You can also text us at 37937 as well. A lot of people very, I think, rightfully frustrated after this game. Let's now hear from Alex Cora.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way we drew it up. They had a bunch of lefties. He gave us enough, and we went to Rich in that situation. We had a big pocket of lefties, so just a righty burn us. And then the hope was like to give us as many outs as possible, and then we take advantage of the matchups, and just didn't work.
The fact that at that point he hadn't given up anything today affected what
you're saying? No. He threw the ball well, and we felt like that was Carpenter has been good against righties. We had the lead, so we went to a lefty.
What are you seeing with the offense? It just seems like a bunch of different guys are scuffling right now.
Yeah, right now there's not much going on. It's been going on for a while. So, we just got to, regroup, reassess, and go from there tomorrow. It's not about hitting the ball hard, right? Like, we're not even doing that. So, we haven't walked in a while. So, we got to get back to dominate the strike zone, hit the ball, pitches in the zone, hit them hard. And when you start doing that, good things are going to happen.
What have you seen with Rafi since he's come back? It's obviously been
I mean, he's putting good at bats, swinging at strikes. You know, he's not chasing, so it's just a matter of time. He worked on a few things mechanically yesterday, trying to stay inside the ball and drive it to left field. Like I said a few days ago, we haven't seen that in a while. Today he hit one. That's a good sign. So hopefully, you know, from tomorrow on, he can start doing that more consistently. You know, the kid, he lives in left center, and we know that. You know, when he's not hitting the ball that way, you know, it's not hard because he's never hard with him, but that's his bread and butter. So we got to get him back to that. And, you know, it's part of mechanics and the shoulders, right? So probably he got into some bad habits, you know, and he's trying to, you know, break them, you know, in pre-games and all that stuff. And like I said, hopefully tomorrow is the start of something good.
Cooper's obviously had games where he's gone longer than four innings. Was this more a matter of the lefties coming up and you felt that?
I think it was the lineup, like I said. You know, yeah. We talk about it before the game. You know, it's like if we find a lane that, you know, it makes sense to us. You know, it was four. Rich goes two, you know, and then after that we go to the righties. We'll do it, you know. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, you know, and today we got burned.
Overall, what did you see from him then, you know?
The cutter was good, the sinker was good, kept him off balance. You know, with him, it's about command, you know. When he's, you know, dominating the corners of the strike zone, he's really good, and he did that.
Do guys understand, you know, when you take them out of a game, that, you know, just how
honestly, Pete, like from my end, you know, they know that I'll take the ball whenever we feel like that's enough, and he understands that.
He was the first guy with Carpenter at like a 12-pitch walk against Rich.
Yeah, that was a good bat. You know, kept going and going, and, you know, he's a tough bat against lefties and righties, you know, and he hits a ball out of the ballpark, so he did a good job there.
All right, so that is Alex Cora talking after today's 4-1 loss against the Detroit Tigers. And just to get you guys up to speed in case you missed the game, so Cooper Criswell, the starter for the Sox today, he tossed four perfect innings. Sox took the lead in the fifth on an RBI single by Jarren Duran. And Alex Cora, instead of letting Cooper Criswell continue his great start, he goes to Rich Hill, who had pitched yesterday an inning and a third, goes to him in the fifth inning and proceeds to give up a two-run home run on the third batter that he faced to Spencer Torkelson, and the Tigers took the lead from there. So Alex Cora admitting there in the post-game comments that going to Rich Hill in the fifth was the way they drew it up before the game. But as I've already said, you know, I think what's frustrating about this loss and the way it ultimately transpired is that Alex Cora is known for at least breaking away from the plan a little bit if need be, if the game is going a certain way, as it seemed like this game was going. Cooper Criswell was rolling. Maybe looked the best he had all season long. And you have to think about what that Tigers dugout had to be thinking when he was taken out. The sigh of relief. Oh, you're going to bring in a 44-year-old left-hander, even though, to Rich Hill's credit, he's pitched really well prior to today in his first two appearances. But you're going to bring in a new guy, even though this guy's shoving and he's only thrown 52 pitches? Okay. And that ends up being the ballgame. Again, not completely that. They didn't lose completely because of that. Offensively, this team's in a real rut, and there's some real problems moving forward because Devers doesn't seem right. Gets one hit today, but he just doesn't seem like the guy of old. Casas right now is in a funk. Ref Snyder's in a bit of a funk. And just talk about this not being a good day for Alex Cora. I mean, I don't understand why they went to Danny Jansen in this game for a pinch hit spot, even though, yes, you had, you know, a left-hander on the mound. You got to be a little bit smarter than that. Or at least I just didn't understand going to a guy in Danny Jansen who has been struggling mightily as of late at the plate. Tough day. 617-779-7937. We're going to get to the calls here in one moment. And thanks to the callers and all the texters that are rolling in. Again, we'll give the number one more time. 617-779-7937. I just wanted to throw this out there. Twins are losing by a score of 3-1 against the Blue Jays. That's about to go into the bottom of the eighth inning. Also, the Royals are losing their game against the Astros. So the teams ahead of the Sox continue to not win. And I guess you could swing that both ways. It's both frustrating that you haven't been able to pick up any games on these teams. At the same time, you're still not losing ground.
The Twins actually put up a 3 spot in the bottom of the eighth and now lead 4-3.
See, my scoreboard was off. There you go. 4-3. Okay, so they might fall to 4.5 back. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Liam in Portsmouth. He's been hanging on very, very patiently. What's going on, Liam?
Joe, baseball has been around since before cars, the majority of it without analytics. When you are throwing a perfect game, you have to go on feel, 100% feel. And in that moment, 53 pitches, that's always that, or 52, 53, 52, whatever it may have been, 52, pitching incredibly. What are you thinking in that? I don't care. Nothing he said in his press conference right there was acceptable for that situation. You have an offense that has been pretty horrendous over the last week, and you're struggling greatly, and you have a pitcher doing what he's doing. You leave him in. Of course, you know, and I'm with you, man. I've liked a lot of the decisions Cora has made this year. But we both know Cora has rolled the dice a lot in some questionable situations, making major league debuts in the bases loaded in the 10th inning and the 9th inning. He rolls the dice, and it works a lot of the times, but it doesn't. And when it doesn't work out, we're seeing it today. Now you have a Red Sox Nation fired up and frustrated. That three-run home run that the Blue Jays just let up, now we're looking at 4.5 games back. Now we're looking at potentially running out of time in our season. Looks like it's looking bleak. There are some tough games for the Twins coming up, and we have some tough games ourselves, but we have to play well over the next few weeks and hope other teams lose.
Yeah,
now we're in a bad spot.
Yeah, Liam, it's looking less and less realistic, and I appreciate the call. 617-779-7937. Now, we've gone through this song and dance before where we've poured some dirt on the Sox in their season and their playoff hopes, and then they show immediately right afterwards that their season isn't dead. So would you be completely surprised if they win tomorrow against the Mets and you feel a little bit better about things? No. However, this was a frustrating series on a number of levels. And I think what I would say is that of all the reasons I could feel frustrated about a series like this, I didn't expect to say it's because I was disappointed in the way Alex Cora managed. That's the most surprising part about all of this. Again, there's a lot that goes into losing a series, and I thought Friday was mismanaged, but they still won that game. Today, this decision just didn't make any sense to me. And I didn't think we heard enough in that post game from Cora that justified making that decision. You know, you rationalize it a certain way. Okay, then yeah, my arguments, my thought process, I can be swayed if you give me the right type of information behind the decision. And this one, there just wasn't enough. And that's what's so frustrating sitting here talking about this game. And there's layers to everything now with where the Sox stand, where they could be now 4.5 games back. We've talked about it so many times on the show about the offseason, the lack of spending on the starting pitching, and how that's hurt this team. The lack of investment after we all thought they were going to go into the luxury tax this year. They don't do that. The trade deadline, they got some pieces back, but they kind of bought in a silent way that's completely backfired on them now. So you can talk about that as well. The fielding sucked all season long, pretty much. And it's shown when they play sound baseball defensively, more times than not, they win. But they haven't done that a lot this year. But today, again, it's more frustrating now because you never thought your manager was going to be the problem in a loss. And I think, again, that's just where I stand. I will continue to say it. I love Alex Cora. I think he's one of the best managers in the sport. However, two things can be true at the same time. He did not manage a good game today. He didn't. And this decision made absolutely no sense to me.
To that point, I know a lot of the callers and a lot of the texts are going to end up saying, well, he was throwing a perfect game through four innings. I don't even necessarily care about the perfect game. If he had given up one or two hits, but there wasn't a lot of chances for the Tigers and he was still cruising along, it's still the wrong decision to pull him there.
I agree. I completely agree. But then again, you look at this specifically, like, you know, Zach, I just to that point, we're going to get back to the phones here in one moment, 617-779-7937. I just want to say this. There's so many times in watching these games all season long where I say, thank goodness this team has Alex Cora as their manager. Because you look at what the other side is doing, like an Aaron Boone which if you talk to any Yankee fan, they'll tell you how frustrated they get with him because of the managerial moves that he makes. Scott Service, we saw it in a series here at Fenway Park. They pitched to Devers in, the 9th inning or the 10th inning when they won that game. When they had a base open. The stupidest thing ever. These types of things, you don't, at least from my perspective, I don't question them as much as I see or I question what other managers are doing. So that's what makes today so confounding. And there was a real gut feeling of like, okay, this I don't feel good about this. As soon as they made the move to Rich Hill, and that was validated because Curry Carpenter reached on a 12-pitch walk. 12 pitches! That was almost as much as Cooper Criswell threw in any inning. So anyway, 4-1 loss. Tigers take it over the Red Sox. We're going to take you up to, 6 p.m. here on Red Sox Review. Let's go to Steve in the car before we go to break because he's been hanging on patiently. What's going on, Steve?
Okay, I'll answer it rhetorically. If Jonathan Applebaum was on the mound, would Alex Cora have taken him out? No. And here's the thing. There's two things that are frustrating me with Alex Cora. One, remember when the Red Sox were at Yankee Stadium and Yoshida Masataka hit the home run
yes.
in the game?
Yep.
The next night, he needed a left-handed hitter to come up, and he put in somebody else, and I was screaming at the TV, well, where's Yoshida? The guy won you the game the other night. So please, don't say that Alex Cora is a good manager. You want a good manager? Bruce Bochy. And I'm sick and tired.
Steve, I agree with you on Bochy, but I disagree with you on saying that he's not a good manager. But go ahead.
I don't think he's that good. And number two is, here's the other point. I'm sick of analytics as much as I'm sick of you got 100-pitch maximum count. I mean, really? So, you know, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. None of these guys. And here's the thing. The Red Sox win because you got a bunch of young kids who are playing their butts off, which I thoroughly enjoy. And so, you know, they're going to win some, they're going to lose some. But you needed something. You needed a shot in the arm. And the shot in the arm was this kid pitching.
Yeah.
You don't know if he was going to throw a no-hitter. You don't know if he was going to throw a perfect game. And the bottom line is that would have given the Red Sox a shot in the arm. And they might have scratched a run across. But Alex Cora just took that away. And that is a demotivator. And you live and die the Sox, but this one, I don't know. There's no explanation for it. And I appreciate taking the time to take my call, but I don't know what I'm going to do tonight. This is crazy.
Yeah, no, Steve, I appreciate it. And listen, this is what I said. This is the place to vent after a game like this. And if you want to grab Steve's line, 617-779-7937. I want to make one point before we go to break. And again, we still have a whole hour to go here. We're going to hear from Cooper Criswell. We'll hear from Rich Hill. And again, if you missed it, Sox fell 4-1 against the Detroit Tigers. So people make this point about analytics. You would be upset if the Sox had nothing to do with analytics. The best teams in baseball do care about analytics. The problem becomes is when that dictates everything for you in a game and you don't rely on feel. And I just didn't like the game plan coming into this one. And Alex Cora said that this was the game plan, that they were going to go to Criswell for 4 and then go to Rich Hill after that. And I just fundamentally don't like that that's the game plan. You know, because you're relying upon going to a guy in Rich Hill that you just signed who's 44 years old and asking him to pitch back-to-back days. And then in the context of this game, it just doesn't make sense when you have a guy that before him that has gone more than 5 innings or has gone at least 5 innings a lot this year was throwing a perfect game and he only had 52 pitches. It just didn't make enough sense to make the move that they did. And there are times I've really liked the way Cora has managed the bullpen, understanding where a lot of these guys are, these starting pitchers, with where they're at innings-wise, and I get into these back and forths with you guys on Red Sox Review, and I enjoy it because I like getting a chance to talk to you guys, but I disagree when sometimes you say, oh, why didn't he leave him in for one more inning when there is a chance that that they're about to go or push them to a point where they've gone already too far in their career, or they haven't gone yet in their career. Like a Tanner Houck, we've talked about it so many times, where he's out with his innings. So the other day, on Friday, he goes six, and I had somebody call in on that show and say, well, why didn't they push him for a seventh? Well, he's already way past what he's thrown in his career. So you have to be smart with it. But for Cooper Criswell, and I was looking this up today, where he's at innings-wise, it's right on line with what his career high is. So he hasn't passed it, and he could at this point because he's, you know, further along in his career. It didn't make enough sense to make the moves the way they did today. I've been looking for a justification for it because I think it would make us all feel better. Alex Cora just spoke, and I don't think, again, despite about how I feel about Alex Cora, I don't think we got enough. And that's frustrating. Offense is in a real rut, too. That's a big part of the equation. The Sox bullpen's been taxed, and somebody texting this in that Nesson had a postgame stat that the Sox had the worst bullpen in Major League Baseball since the All-Star break, even worse than the White Sox. So, again, this is the type of game. You got a good starter on the mound, or at least he's rolling in this game, and Criswell's got a sub-4 ERA as a starter this year, and you don't let him try to get through the fifth inning. You take him out after four perfect innings, and then this happens. Again, it's not the only thing, but for a guy in Alex Cora, as good as he is his job, I'm just surprised that we are sitting here talking about maybe the most questionable decision he's made all year long in a spot where we desperately need to see this team get some dubs. Again, 617-779-7937, the number to call in here for Red Sox Review. Tigers, a 4-1 winner over the Sox. We'll continue to talk about today's game, what's ahead for this club as well. Andre and Charlestown and Evan in New Hampshire, we will get to you guys next on the other side of this break on WEI.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The swing of the game, and really the talking point of today's loss to the Detroit Tigers. Sox fall 4-1 against Detroit, so they lose the series. They also lose the season series. And for a Sox team that entered today's action 3.5 games out of the third wildcard spot, they drop now one game further back of the Minnesota Twins, who end up beating the Blue Jays today by a score of 4-3. So let's just update the wild card standings for you right now. So it's Baltimore at the top at 78-59. They're still in action, though, in their game against the Rockies on top 8-1. But the Twins and Royals, those two teams are now tied in the wild card standings for the second and third spots. Sox are now back 4.5 games of both of those clubs with now 25 to go left in the regular season. So things are not looking good for this club as they lose a series both yesterday and today, winnable games. that they ultimately came out on the losing side of things. And we want to hear from you. 617-779-7937. The call's continuing to roll in here on Red Sox Review. You can also chime in at 37937 as well. We're getting some interesting texts that I do want to touch on as well from all you guys out there listening. But the big move of this game was Cooper Criswell, four perfect innings, ends up getting the hook. Rich Hill pitching for the second consecutive day gives up a two-run home run to Spencer Torkelson. And you know the reason in part that Alex Cora made this move is that this was the game plan coming into the game that they were going to have Cooper Criswell go for and then Rich Hill follow him after that. And then it was also made because there was a slew of left-handed hitters coming up. So for the next five were going to be left-handed batters when Rich Hill came in. Problem is, Kerry Carpenter works a 12-pitch walk, and then Jace Young strikes out, but then you have that right-handed batter in there and Spencer Torkelson, who has been swinging it better as of late, and he takes Rich Hill deep out to left field, and that ends up being the game-deciding swing as the Sox ultimately fall in this one to Detroit. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Evan in New Hampshire. What's going on, Evan?
Hey, man, just first of all, I wanted to say love the post-game show. Always try and tune in whenever I can, especially at school. It's a nice little cool-down, but obviously not on games like this.
I know. Games like this, it's no fun, but, Evan, I appreciate the kind words.
Just wanted to speak on a few things, actually. This is Boston, right? This is a city of champions. Every year, all four teams have the expectations of going in and winning a championship and at least making the playoffs.
Except for the Patriots this year.
Except for the Patriots, yeah. I mean, well, that's a whole different situation. But this year for the Red Sox, I think I had the least amount of expectations I've had in quite some time. They didn't have consistency pitching. They didn't have the bats working at the same time. And then you start to get that hope, right? You're like, this team is fun. They're winning games. They have a wild card spot. And then you come down to this area, right, where people are starting to realize, hey, this team isn't consistent. They were never going to be able to be consistent. They were probably going to get swept by the Astros in the playoffs. They'd probably get the Orioles. They'd probably lose to the Yankees. These teams are better than them, straight up. And in my opinion, at this point, people are starting to realize, hey, they didn't have it. And this time, we got to look to the future, right? We have three of the top prospects in baseball. Roman Anthony, Kyle Teal yesterday, the great dudes, unbelievable baseball players. And if the ownership can decide to spend at least a tiny bit of money on pitching, this team is contenders for years to come. Anyways, man, love the show. I just want to see what you got to say about that.
Yeah, Evan, I appreciate the call. Thanks for the kind words again, and I appreciate you chiming in. And if you do want to grab Evan's line, 617-779-7937. The future of this team is very bright, and I think we have to understand that while the Sox record coming into today, it was the same as last year through 136 games, they had the same record of 70-66. Now I'm just checking last year to make sure that I have it. Let's see what it was through 137 games for the Sox. See if it was the exact same record that they have right now. So just checking right now, and let's see. They actually won their 137th game. But I asked Lou Merlone this in our pregame conversation about how there's two sides of the coin of saying, okay, through 136 games, they have the exact same record that they did last year. One more optimistic side of the coin is that this year they are really being led by the young players on this team. Now, there were young players that were a part of the charge last year, but you think about last year's team, you think of how much Justin Turner had an impact on the club and how there were so many times he felt like he was really the guy that you could trust the most on this team. Jaron Duran did have a good season, but not as good as this year, where he came into today second in baseball reference wins above replacement. He'd been that good. And so I think you can look at it through that lens a little bit more and not have to worry about last year and how this team might be headed for a similar fate. Because last year, you had some injuries down the stretch. Tristan Casas, Jaron Duran, and then they ultimately fell to last place and finished below 500. I still think this team will finish above 500. Do I think they're going to make the playoffs? I am now getting pretty pessimistic about that. And what stinks is that I hopped on with Bradfo on Saturday for his Baseball Isn't Boring show, and I was looking at things after winning on Friday, and I said, okay, well, you're in this stretch right now where you have the Tigers who are, you know, they're fine. You know, I know that the Sox are only up a half game on them, but I do think the Sox are still a better team. You have the Mets coming up who are playing better baseball. They're in the wild card hunt, but not to say that isn't a winnable series. And then you have the White Sox. So I thought that this could be the stretch. They could go 9-3 or 10-2 or whatever it may be, because they had five against Toronto, but they did take two out of three at the end. I don't think that's going to be the case now. We'll see. I won't fully give up hope, but I was looking through it at a different lens 2 days ago than I do today. And again, that's what makes today frustrating, is that one, the bats were not there. And two, your manager, who again, I'm going to keep saying it, I still think is one of the best in the sport, had a pretty confounding day. And I can't get behind the rationale for what they decided to do with Rich Hill and replacing Cooper Criswell. I just can't. And that's frustrating, because I sit here and do rave about Alex Cora a lot. And I'm not going to waver from that overall, but today was not a good example. Today was a real struggle for this team in many different ways, and a frustrating one at that. 617-779-7937. Again, the texts that we're getting in are great, too. I want to hit on those as we continue on in the program. So feel free to text us at 37937 as well. Let's go to Bill in Auburn. What's going on, Bill?
Hey, nothing much. Great show. I just wanted to say, I want to make a prediction to all your Sox fans out there. I think I am, call me crazy, I think the Red Sox are going to make the playoffs. We're going to make a run starting tomorrow.
All right, all right.
Have this feeling.
I like the optimism, Bill. My follow-up to you is, after this series, what gives you that optimism?
Well, I just think that Cora is going to call a meeting in the clubhouse and say, look, guys, you know, it's either you guys start winning or it's over.
I mean, that's a simple, succinct message that,
yes.
that might light a fire under him. I mean, it's not over. It's not mathematically over, and I'm of the belief it ain't over until it's over. I mean, I've said this a ton, Bill. Like, we have witnessed this team coming back from a 3-0 deficit in the playoffs 20 years ago against a team that had owned them for 86 years.
Yes.
Crazier things have happened.
Yes. And I think that the Red Sox will sweep the Mets and go home and sweep the White Sox, and then go, you know, all the other teams we could beat.
All right. All right. I like it, Bill. I like it, Bill. I like the enthusiasm. Listen, that optimism's needed right now, because this is one of those low moments. And Bill,
we need some positive thoughts, guys. We need some positive thoughts.
I appreciate it, Bill. And I appreciate Bill chiming in. Thanks, Bill.
Yep.
All right. Are you fired up, Zach?
I'm so fired
up. Let's go. Bill's not out. And listen,
I looked it up. It's the Orioles after the White Sox.
After the White Sox. Yeah, the schedule gets tougher again after they play the White Sox, who are an abysmal baseball team, the worst of our lifetime. And the 62 Mets might be off the hook very soon, which I've read some articles about it. There's a lot of pity that they feel about this White Sox team. They're like, I wouldn't wish this on anybody, to have this distinction, to be a part of this team that has the most losses in Major League Baseball history.
It has got to be so demoralizing to show up to the park every day knowing that there's just a slim to none chance that you're going to get a win.
Day in, day out. Again, 617-779-7937, the number to call in. So that series definitely, I just think definitely needs to be a sweep when they play the White Sox, if they want any chance of staying in this playoff race. But now they're 4.5 out, and again, 25 games to go, with the Sox now 70-67. Again, I keep referencing our text line, which again, as a lot of people chiming in, and a lot of good stuff to ultimately hit on here as we talk about today's game. And the calls are still rolling in as well. 617-779-7937. The number to call in, and we want to hear from all you guys. Again, I see the calls rolling in. This is the type of game where we're getting your reaction is very fun from my perspective, because These are the type of games that we question what's going on, the managerial moves, especially the one that Alex Cora made today by taking Cooper Criswell out after four perfect innings and then to bring in a 44-year-old left-hander in Rich Hill who, again, to his credit, first two outings, very strong. This one, not so much, and you could almost see it from a mile away that something bad was going to happen. We will get to the phone lines. We will get to the text when we come back, but let's now go to Zach Goh with what's trending here on WEI.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox fell to the Tigers this afternoon from Comerica Park, 4-1, your final, dropping 2 out of 3 in Detroit. Cooper Criswell gets the start for the Sox, going 4 perfect innings before being pulled for Rich Hill. Sox now sit 4.5 games back of the final wildcard spot after the Royals fell to the Astros 7-2 and the Twins defeated the Blue Jays 4-3. Next up for the Sox, a trip to Queens to take on the Mets, who are in a pretty similar position as you. 3-game set kicking off tomorrow when Brian Baio takes the mound opposite Luis Severino. Our coverage of that game starts at 6:10 with Cooper Boardman on the Mass Mutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Lou Merlone will have the call of the game on the Shaw's and Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. College football kicked off this weekend, and the Boston College Eagles have to wait until tomorrow night to take on the 10th-ranked Florida State Seminoles. The Eagles will take on the Seminoles from Tallahassee tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, and you can hear that game on WEEI 850. My name is Zach Coe. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Red Sox review coming up after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, back here on Red Sox Review. Sox fall 4-1 against the Tigers today in what was a frustrating game on an offensive level, and today a little bit on a managerial level with some of the decisions that were made. Alex Cora yanking Cooper Criswell after four perfect innings. We've been talking about it all afternoon long since the game came to an end, and that was one of a couple of, you know, just head-scratching decisions made today. Zach and I were just talking about it. Joe Wild with you here, by the way. Zach Coe behind the glass doing great work. And if you want to chime into the conversation, might as well plug this too. 617-779-7937. You can also text us at 37937. We're going to get to the text in one moment. But the Cooper Criswell taking him out, bringing in Rich Hill, that was one of several moves that just kind of made you stare at the screen, or if you're listening on the radio, you had to be just shaking your head a little bit. Another one was in the seventh inning where Danny Jansen pinch hit with Brant Herder on the mound, so it's still a left-hander pitching for the Tigers, and he pinch hits for Willy Abreu. Now, we've hit on the splits with Abreu, and he hits much better against right-handed pitching. However, Danny Jansen is 2 for his last 26 coming into today's action with no extra base hits in 9 games. It just felt like a game that was completely overthought, and instead of staying with what was logical, the Sox deviated from that. And it's so, and I've been saying this all afternoon now, it was just surprising to see this manager specifically make these types of moves, because Alex Cora, he is paid as one of the best managers in the sport, only behind Craig Counsell in terms of annual salary at this point. And it is deserved. I can't say that enough. However, today was definitely head-scratching. And it felt like moves you'd see bad managers make. One of our texters, before we get back to the phone line, I wanted to bring this up because this is a much more extreme example. But it felt similar watching this than what we saw and what this texter was bringing up. He said there was a move, or he's talking about the move to bring in Rich Hill to relieve Cooper Criswell. And again, if you missed the game, Rich Hill then proceeded to give up a two-run home run to Spencer Torkelson. He came in to lead off the inning, gave up a walk, then got a strikeout, then gave up the two-run home run. But one of our texters writes in, this was a move reminiscent of Kevin Cash with Blake Snell in the World Series a couple years ago. He's referencing the 2020 World Series when Blake Snell was rolling. He ends up giving up a hit with one out. I think it was to Austin Barnes, if I have that right. And then Nick Anderson came in. Kevin Cash gave Blake Snell the hook when he was pitching so well, and that was only the second hit he allowed. And then, of course, the Rays end up blowing that game. Dodgers win game 6 in the World Series. And the texter finishes off his point by saying, very disappointing, a guy like Alex Cora, who I really like, went with a plan over his eyes. Crushing. And I feel the same way. It's different than that example. Again, it's a regular season game. This team is fighting for a playoff spot. We know about the uphill battle that this club has had to ultimately fight from an injury standpoint, from a talent standpoint, and of course a resources standpoint in terms of what was ultimately given to the front office to work with in the offseason. However, I just didn't expect us to be questioning a managerial move in a must-win game, but we are. It's not the whole story of this season. It's one game. The Sox are not going to miss the playoffs because of this game specifically. We know the other issues. Right now it's the offense. 29 runs in their last 10 games for a group that was on an incredible run in the second half. And really, all season long, you could say they're a top 10 offense. Which it didn't feel like it could be in the early part of the season once you lost Trevor Story and when you lost Tristan Casas. So kudos to the group offensively. But the pitching staff has fallen off. Starters have been much better recently. The fielding has been subpar all year long. And the culmination of these things have the Sox where they are right now, 4.5 out of the third wildcard spot with 25 games left to go now, sitting at 70-67. Again, 617-779-7937. Let's go to our man Wally in Fall River. What's going on, Wally?
What's up, Joe? I mean, we didn't get our brains beat out today, but you just look at the offense. It's been, like, pathetic lately. You can't depend on Jaron Duran all the time. Everybody's got to chip in. But to be realistic, you're running out of time. Like I said, everybody has to chip in. It can't be one or two guys. You have to play almost perfect baseball every game. Like I said, we know the defense hasn't been that good. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But it's going to be tough to get that third wild card because Minnesota, I'm sure, is not going to go. I don't know how many games they have left, but you can't be scored. You have to take care of business yourself, and you're running out of time. You're not playing good. You're not hitting. If the hitting don't pick up, I don't think they have a chance, Joe. What? But you can't look at the schedule and say, oh, we're going to win the next three. This team stinks. We're going to win the next two out of three. The next, this is a mediocre team. These are all still major league teams. They're not going to roll over for the Red Sox, so the Red Sox can win the third wild card. We all have to realize that sometimes the schedule can be deceiving and not turn out the way you want.
Yeah, I agree, Wally, and I agree with you, and I've already hit on this in our show, and appreciate the call as always, Wally. If you want to grab his line, 617-779-7937. The offense is going to have to lead the way down the stretch. Now, I did hit on the starting pitching and how much that group has actually performed pretty well over this recent stretch here. They have been better. Last 23 games, they've actually posted a 3.33 ERA. Last seven games specifically, a 1.22 ERA. And now some of those starts are less than six innings. You look at those seven starts. You have two from Cooper Criswell, in which he has not gone more than four innings. We wish that was the case today. That didn't end up happening. But it's going to have to be the offense, in my opinion, that gets them to the finish line and to get them to step things up. And Wally is right. It can't just be Jarren Duran. Jarren Duran has been incredible. Jarren Duran is having one of the best position player seasons that we've seen in the last 50 years. I rattled this stat off in pregame that in terms of wins above replacement, he came into today with the fifth highest wins above replacement in a single season among Red Sox position players in the last 50 years. He's in that company, that elite company. But it can't just be him. And the problem is Devers does not look right now. And Tristan Casas is going through it a bit. Rob Refsnyder's going through it a bit offensively. Connor Wong, we saw some nice swings from him in this game, or I'm sorry, in this series, especially on Friday. Today he goes 0-for-3 with a walk. It's not the full group. I mean, now they didn't have Tyler O'Neill today. They didn't have Sadon Rafaela, but Rafaela's 3 for his last 26. Tyler O'Neill hit a home run in that Blue Jays series, but he still hasn't looked great since coming off the IL with that leg infection. This group has to find its mojo again for this team to have any shot. We'll see how they obviously respond, though, starting with that series against the Mets, which begins tomorrow. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Rich in Lynn. What's going on, Rich?
How you guys doing? This is not a surprise to me what's going on with this team right now. When you don't have an ownership that, you know, buys into them at the trading deadline and gives them any type of support, and now people are kind of acting like they're surprised with the results right now with the pitching and the, you know, inconsistency in offense. This is all on ownership. And this is why, like I said, this is the first time in a while I was actually getting into the Red Sox again. And when they did nothing at the deadline, this is what the result was going to come to. They were going to come up short in the bats and come up short in the pitching. Thank you, guys.
I appreciate that, Rich. And you know, we've had a lot of people throughout the year hit on that. And to me, not to say that they couldn't have done more at the deadline. You look at the returns now that they've gotten on the deadline, and every player that they receive back, it has pretty much been the worst case scenario.
Lucas, not great.
Right. Lucas Sims, Luis Garcia on the IL after being subpar relievers. Looked like Garcia was starting to turn it around a little bit, but now he's on the IL. Both those guys are. James Paxton, you get him, and you get him for close to nothing after the Dodgers DFA him. He's now hurt, and you're likely not going to have him back before the end of the season. We'll see. Danny Jansen's in a real rut. And again, that's why it was such a surprise to see him pinch hit in today's game in any fashion, because now he's 2 for his last 28 at the plate with no extra base hits. Looked good early, but he's fallen off since. Quinn Priester even struggling in Worcester. There's some good mixed in there, but the overall numbers don't look great. You know, they're tweaking his arsenal, and hopefully, you know, he's still a very young guy, so there's still some promise there. But Nick York's lighting it up in the Pittsburgh Pirates system. All this is to say the trade deadline obviously has not gone the way that this team hoped. And they bought, but they bought, you know, it was not necessarily the difference-making players that you'd hope they would get. Or we were all maybe thinking that they would go after. That being said, I still look at this year, and I look at that offseason, and I look at what the expectations were coming in related to how it ultimately turned out and the names that they got. Some things have worked. Tyler O'Neill, by and large, that trade has worked. You traded away Victor Santos and Nick Robertson, who have done nothing for the Cardinals. But you trade away Chris Sale. He's now going to be the NL Cy Young, most likely. And Vaughn Grissom is struggling in Worcester. And when he was here up at the major league level, struggled. He's been dealing with injuries all season long. You know the story by now. That has been a worst case scenario trade, even if the logic behind it made sense. Lucas Giolito, didn't get him for any part of this year. And so, to me, that set up the expectations for this year. The way the offseason went, with what we thought could happen, but instead the reality of it. And this season has been fun to follow, you know, for the most part, because this team has exceeded expectations. They've played better than we hoped. They actually are still in the playoff hunt, you know, now to a much lesser degree. They're 4.5 out with 25 to go. It's not completely, you know, it wouldn't be completely crazy to see them make it, but it's looking less and less likely. But to me, that set the tone for kind of where they're at, because there was an uphill battle in terms of trying to outperform, you know, the expectations on every group by and large. And that's why, again, I try to caveat everything I try to give this caveat with everything I'm saying about today as it's related to Alex Cora. This was not a good game for him. By and large, this coaching staff, I think, has done a good job. But today was not the case. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Mike in Buffalo. What's going on, Mike?
Yeah, you know, I think we're making way too big of a deal about this pitching pulling him. I understand where everybody's coming from, but you have to score runs. So, I mean, you know, the guy, let's say he would have had to pitch a shutout or something.
No, Mike,
something
that, Mike, yeah. I want to let you get the question off that you want. I just want to make sure that you know, I don't know if you, how long you've been tuning in. That is something I've been saying all program long, is that this was frustrating, and I think it deserves to be scrutinized, but this offense has only scored 29 runs over the last 10 games.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And, you know, the pitching, you know, the Toronto series, they got shut out 2-0. The 2-1, what was it?
Yesterday.
Saturday?
That was yesterday,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, yesterday, 2-1, 4-1. Devers isn't right, and they should just not even play him the rest of the year. And they're going to have a hard time with the Mets. They're not going in there and sweeping them. If anybody thinks they're going to do that, they're out of their mind. But I think they're too left-handed. And the only one that anybody would be tradable for me if I was running that club other than Durant. Anybody is tradable. So that's all I got to say.
So you'd include Devers in that one?
Oh, absolutely. If you think he is a $330 million player, I mean, I like you. You do a hell of a job. But no, no way. The guy's hitting 200 in August.
Well, I know, but and he's clearly dealing with something, Mike. I appreciate the kind words there. As I say to everybody, I do it with all you guys, and I appreciate all you guys who chime in. I like the back and forths. He's struggling recently.
I just don't think he is. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that he's struggling recently. Yep. Like that's definitely the case. He's clearly playing through something right now. And before that, he was...
I agree with you on that, but they need somebody to help him. How about Guerrero? Wouldn't that be sweet?
They could use a right-handed bat. Now
I guess they can.
It would be fun. And I mean, especially what we saw him do now that he's kind of refound that 2021 version of him. He was so good in that series at Fenway. And this team could clearly use a right-handed bat. The question is, how do they make that all work? Because it seems like the DH is clogged.
Well,
they have Casas at first.
You got Abreu who might be able to bring you something. Even Casas, as far as I'm concerned. But you need somebody to help him a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yes. No, Mike, this team, you bring up Guerrero, this team desperately needs some balance to it. Now, I have for a little bit gone about the line of thinking of, well, I don't know how much I care too much about the balance because the left-handed hitters that they have are so good.
Yes.
I'm starting to turn back around on that own thought of my own because they're clearly struggling against left-handed pitchers like today. Yesterday, you mentioned that they lose 2-1. You know what? That's Tarek Skubal. He's the best pitcher in the sport, and you give him his flowers for how well he pitched. But the guy today, Brant Herder, like you could do better against a guy like that.
I would think so. Tony Maserati says it's a ballpark for left-handed hitters. I disagree wholeheartedly if you know how to go that way. I mean, there's a big, you know, I've been following this well before you were born. So I've been for 70 years know what's going on with these guys, and I followed them in everything. And you need a right-handed bat to help Devers, you know, because you can pitch around him too.
Yep. And I think if you – yeah, go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
And Rafaela, geez, he's got to learn the strike zone. He can be a real, real big help, but his CD swings and pitches in the dirt, over his head, and everything else. But
yep.
Anyway,
yep.
Hey, I've taken up enough time. Thanks for letting me talk all that time, and go Bruins.
Exactly. Hey, season starting soon enough. I see my producer, Zach. He's more of a hockey guy than me. He is beaming from ear to ear. Appreciate Mike chiming in. And if you want to get your thoughts in, 617-779-7937 is the number to call in here for Red Sox Review. We go back to the phones. Let's go to Matt in Manchester, New Hampshire. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, how's it going? So my question is, all these prospects are so untradeable. If you look at the team right now, they're struggling most at second base, behind the plate, and they need another outfielder. Like, why are we waiting? Like, people don't think they're going to make the playoffs anyway. Why are we waiting? Why are we giving Rusevich all these at-bats? Bring up Roman Anthony. See what he has. If he's not as good as you think he is, well, then that's on you. At least you would know. They need a catcher who can throw guys out. That's Teal. And you have a backup plan. If Campbell comes up and he's nothing, you have Meyer anyway. So I just don't understand what we're doing here, because it's so frustrating watching these guys like Ref Snyder, 1-for-22, Danny Jansen, 1-for-20. It's unbelievable. I just want to hear your thoughts on that.
No, I appreciate that, Matt, and it is a question that a lot of people have right now, especially with all the talent waiting in Worcester. You mentioned some of the names like Roman Anthony, Kyle Teal, Marcelo Meyer. He's now out for the season, by the way, so you're not going to, you know, hit a lumbar strain, so he won't play this year for the remainder. So that's one name you can kind of check off is, okay, he's not going to play in any capacity and isn't a candidate to be called up here to the Sox. Christian Campbell, that's another interesting name. Zach, I'm actually curious what you think about this as related to the second base position. So first off, my take on that question is that would I love to see them at the major league level? Absolutely. It would be fun to watch and give us, you know, a little bit of a jolt to see these top prospects get some run up here in the majors. I don't see it happening unless this team really falls out of it and unless Roman Anthony is really killing it down in AAA. But I don't see them coming up, and it comes down to they just haven't had a ton of time in AAA. Are these guys studs? Yes. I don't think they're completely untradeable either. I want to make sure I make that clear. I think nobody's really untradeable, and especially prospects, and especially when you have holes in other areas, and we've talked about the left-handed part of it as well. We've talked about the outfield and how this team already has all these fun young outfielders anyway. But Zach, I wanted to bring you in because the second base part of it is fascinating to me. I'm a big Christian Campbell fan in terms of what he's seen, you know, what we've seen from him in the minor leagues. The production's been off the charts. His teammates call him Barry Bonds because of all the home runs. I would think, though, that this organization is going to give Vaughn Grissom another chance before Christian Campbell gets that chance.
Yeah, I would assume so. Just quickly on the Kyle Teal point, needing to someone who can throw guys out. According to, I think it was Ian Kundle on Sox Prospects, that Teal hasn't been all that great throwing runners out this year. He's kind of regressed from where he was at last year. So I don't think Teal defensively is ready. But I think it's entirely possible we come into next spring training being like, okay, so we have this empty second base hole. We're going to have Christian Campbell and Vaughn Grissom fight it out to see who performs, who earns the job. And ultimately, I think it's going to be Christian Campbell that earns that job. But it's going to be a really, really tough pill to swallow that you traded Chris Sale, who's going to go on to win the Cy Young, for a guy that's then going to lose the second base job next year to one of your top prospects.
Yeah, we'll see how it all shakes out. I do think we forget how young... I think we forget just how young Vaughn Grissom is too. Like when he was on this roster, he was the youngest player on the major league roster. There's another part of this equation that you have to keep in mind too, and that's the 40-man part of it. So Vaughn Grissom's on the 40-man, and that's why they made the moves that they did today as well, bringing Emmanuel Valdez up onto the major league roster now that it's expanded. Chase Sugar too, another one of those guys that was on the 40-man that they've now put on the roster. So you have to think about that part of it. There's a service time element, too, of them trying to make these decisions as well. So I think you have to – you just have to keep that – you know, the 40-man, I think, part more specifically in mind? Because I'm trying to, service time wise, would they keep that eligible for next year's active?
Yeah, they would keep their eligibility.
Yeah, so that's not actually, that has nothing to do with it. So it's the 40 man part of it that is, you know, that is more. More kind of like what they have to make these decisions based off of. And there's no rush to get these guys onto the 40-man in terms of how many years they've played in the minor leagues. Yeah, go ahead, Zach.
They already have a 40-man crunch coming this offseason, too, so I don't really see – it doesn't really seem all that likely that they're going to add those guys to the 40-man and then have to then DFA other guys to make room for people that they want to protect from the Rule 5.
Right, exactly. So I would it be fun – Absolutely. I actually, a buddy of mine, he was waiting. He was going to call in. I didn't know this. And then he texted me because we were having this discussion about this very thing. And he's like, why don't they bring up Roman Anthony? And I said the same thing. I said, there's 40-man issues with that. Or there isn't necessarily a rush for them to get them on the 40-man roster quite yet based on where things are at in terms of how long they've played in the minor leagues. Again, it's all exciting. And I can't wait to actually see these guys with the Sox if they stay in this organization and don't get traded away. But I don't think that they're untouchable. I just don't think any of them are as good as they are. I hope that we get to see these guys grow into productive major league players with the Boston Red Sox. But this franchise and specifically the front office, they may make decisions that go against that. Again, 617-779-7937 here on Red Sox Review. We're going to take a quick break. We'll wrap up the program right after this on WEEI. All right, closing out the Red Sox weekend strong here on the air. Red Sox Review, Joe Weil with you, Zach Coe behind the glass. Unfortunately, the team did not do so. Sunday Sox was the thing in the first half of the year. They went 15-1 prior to the All-Star break on Sundays. But Boston now 1-6 on Sundays post All-Star break. Today, a frustrating one because they lose 4-1, but the offense wasn't there, and that is still, you know, I think conversation point number A about this 3-7 slide that this team has gone on over their last 10 games, because they've only scored 29 runs over the last 10. Coming into today, in terms of average over their last 9, they were 27th in the sport, on base 29th out of 30 teams, slugging-wise 23rd over their last 9 games, and today will likely bring them down in all those categories in terms of where they rank in Major League Baseball. But another talking point about today specifically was Alex Cora yanking Cooper Criswell after 4 perfect innings, going to Rich Hill in the 5th inning, and then Rich Hill in that frame gives up a 2-run home run to Spencer Torkelson that gives the Tigers the lead for good. Let's now hear from Cooper Criswell and what he had to say after a great personal outing but a tough team performance.
Yeah, felt good. Thought Wong called a great game. Thought we had all 4, well, I guess 5 with the new slider. All 5 of the pitches kind of working, keeping them guessing. So, yeah, I thought it was a great game.
When did you incorporate the new slider?
Last outing was the first time I threw it, just to try to get them off the sweeper a little bit and some of the other off speed. So I was actually able to land some for strikes today. So I think that was able to help me some with the other off speed pitches.
You threw 4 perfect innings. I mean, you know, how much did you want to stay in the game? And did you talk to Cora about the decision?
Obviously, you know, you want to be out there, but I'm not going to, you know, say anything against him. Obviously, I would like to be out there, but, you know, when we scored that run, he told me that I was done for the day, so just kind of shook his hand and got a hug from him.
Is that the most in rhythm you felt for a while?
Yeah, I would say so. Just being able to, like I said, have 4 to 5 pitches working, I feel like that's the first time I've had that in several outings, so it was nice for sure.
And he was really good, and that is a part of the story of today's game, because he tossed 4 perfect innings. He only threw 52 pitches, too, 35 of which for strikes, and he strikes out 5 batters. But again, they go to Rich Hill, who was pitching in the second consecutive game, or in his second consecutive game after pitching yesterday. And there was a slew of lefties coming up when he came in the 5th inning. The only problem was there was a right-handed hitter mixed in there in Spencer Torkelson, and he ends up taking Hill deep for a 2-run home run. And that's the questions after the, or that was the biggest question after the game, is why did Alex Cora make that move? And Alex Cora said that this was the game plan coming into today. But what was really frustrating, to watch is because we know what Alex Cora can be as a manager, the fact that he mixes in the analytics with the feel very well, and that just seemed like it wasn't the case today. And he showed himself like we see those managers around the sport that seem to be very strict about going with what the front office wants, what the binder says about, you know, what the matchups are, and not actually seeing what's happening out there. And you could see this coming from a mile away when they made this move, and the Sox end up losing 4-1 against the Tigers. Again, season's not over. Still 4.5 out with 25 to go, but their odds getting worse and worse by the day. And now they kick off a series tomorrow against the New York Mets. Want to thank everybody for chiming in today. It's been a fun show getting to talk to you even when this team loses in the fashion that they do today. Always a blast to be here on Red Sox Review. Great work by Zach Coe behind the glass. Sox will try to remount tomorrow against the New York Mets. 7:10 first pitch on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Network. Have a great night.
Cora's going to call a meeting in the clubhouse and say, look, guys, you know, it's either you guys start winning or it's over.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.